الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Last week we spoke about family matters and how we should take part in taking care of one another in the family. And I was very surprised last week, it was a very simple topic. For example, we spoke about relationships and how to be good to one another and how not to only be good to those that are good to us. And it was a very simple topic that we spoke about, and I didn't really think much about it. However, after the Jummah khutbah last week, it was very amazing that over 10 to 15 people came and said, thank you for talking about how we must respect our spouses. And many individuals came and said, thank you for bringing up the fact that how selfish we are to our husbands and wives, but how good we are to strangers, strangers that don't even care for our existence. Many women and many men last week, and I was really surprised. It's a very simple topic that we speak about. Rasulullah ﷺ spoke about this all the time. Be good to your husbands, be good to your wives, be good to your families. And the amount of people that came and said, I wish you speak more about this, so this way we can improve our lives. And I'm really astonished that this simple topic has had more impact on people than the other more serious topics that I think, or what we feel, that we should be talking about. So anyway, we won't talk more about that today. I apologize for that. But I'll end off with concluding last week's topic by saying the following: that the people that are closest to us are the most important. However, the people that are closest to us are the ones that we take for granted. It's a very important thing. The people that are closest to us are the most important, but the people that are closest to us are the ones that we take for granted. And all psychologists have made mention of this throughout research. And this is the thing that has created the tremendous amount of breakup in our families, in our social relationships, etc. And the reason for this is very simple. The reason for this is very simple. If you are close to me, or I'm close to you, I take you for granted. And I always will say, I got to be better to the outsider out there rather than you, because you should understand that at the end of the day, so what if I abuse you, and so what if you abuse me? This is how humans are, unfortunately. And this creates tremendous amount of problems. That is why many of the Sahaba and many of the Tabi'een, when we study their lives, as their model, they would look for that which is the best. So for example, let's say I'm going to feed someone food. Well, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the many ulama, and I'll share what Mufti Taqi Osmani says about this very, very shortly. They would feed the one that is most religious. In today's time, we'd like to feed the one that does not have religiousness in them so we can impress them. Or for example, let's say I'm doing business. If a good man comes, a good woman comes, one that is religious, and says, give me your business, we say no, no, no. Why? Because you are religious, you don't need my business. Or why do I need to buy blankets from you? Why do I need to buy kerosene from you? Why do I need to buy paraffin from you? Why do I need to buy gasoline from you? But someone that is violating the religion all the time, that's the one we'll go and give support to. Why? Because that person, mashallah, will have the nicest car in front. Even though we don't know how he got that car, he will be living a life of immorality. And what do we say? Inshallah, after I give him business, he'll change. This is how shaitan plays with us. And Mufti Taqi Osmani uses a very beautiful example here. And he says, there was a very poor man, and he would mow the lawn for his income. And he would make so little money that if I mentioned that amount, you'd laugh right now. That's how little money he used to make. He would take 33% of that money and spend it on his family. 33% of that money he would give in charity, and 33% of the money he would keep one side. And he would keep that money one side for one purpose, because every year in that neighborhood, the institution would call guests from outside. So they would call all the major shuyukh. That means the Bukhari, those that teach Bukhari, and those that teach Muslim Sharif, and those that teach Abu Dawood, and those that teach the works of Imam Tirmidhi. Now what's the sequence? 33% for his family. Feed them whatever needed to be done, himself and his family. 33% was in a second category, giving out to poor. He himself was poor, by the way, but he would give out to the poor people out there. And 33% to feed the honorable people. 33% of his income was to give honor to those that were honorable. And they say the scholars used to come and they would wait for his invitation. Wealthy people will come and invite and they'll say, no, we are busy, we are this, we are that. They would not go. But when this poor man would walk forward with his half-torn clothing, with, sometimes he would walk with torn sandals and whatnot, but they would wait for him and say, thank you for your invite, thank you for your invite, and they would go. And thereafter, he would have not very much food, just some rice, little bit of potato, little bit of meat, little bit of this, little bit of, and they would enjoy it, and they would make dua for this individual. Later, the scholars write, when you look at the children of this man, and the grandchildren of this man, Allah has blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. How come? Because this simple man, Mufti Taqi Usmani, writes, he had in him sincerity. He had in him devotion to do good. And he did not have his priorities mixed up. And this is, as we get ready, inshallah, for the month of Ramadan, this is what I want to talk about in the next few minutes, inshallah, is what is our priority? Where do we spend our money? Where do we spend our wealth? Tax time was a few weeks ago, mashallah. And I was speaking to a few brothers and they were talking about taxes. And how this guy says, you know, I feel depressed sometimes and I don't feel good and all these things. So the other brother at the invitation said, do you send money to the poor? No, I don't send money to the poor. When last did you send money to the poor? The guy said, I can't remember when last I sent money to the poor. MashaAllah is a wonderful home, wonderful car, wonderful everything. And I want you to listen to this conversation. So this one brother is telling the brother that's depressed, he says, tell me something, you filled up your IRS forms, you did all, yes I did it. How much interest did you pay in the year 2017? What's the question? How much interest did you pay in 2017 regarding your house? Some of you are smiling. He says, I paid no less than $6,000 in interest in 2017. Because you know, you have houses, you have taxes, you have interest you pay. Right. $6,000 he paid in how much? In interest payments. How much did you pay on your house taxes? $2,500. How much gone? $8,500. Let's go back to 2016. How much did you pay in interest 2016? He says, in 2016, I paid roughly 7,500 interest payments alone. How much did you pay in taxes? It was a little lower. And this guy is telling him something. No wonder you are depressed, because you have your priorities upside down. When you pay interest, who do you pay interest to? The banks and institutions. You have $8,000 to $10,000 to give wealthy institutions out there, but you say you have no money for the poor, you have no money for zakah, you have no money for sadaqah, you have no time to pray, you have time to make money to give institutions in riba, but you have no time for your Allah. So this is what we have to think about on a daily basis, that who are we really helping out there, and who is the one that really needs our help? So this way, inshallah, Allah can increase our position. You know, the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something very beautiful. To extinguish the fire of Allah, to extinguish the wrath of Allah, to extinguish, to switch off the displeasure of Allah, we have to be close to the poor. You have to help the needy. You have to help the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more with. Understand, my brothers, we all are racing behind something, but we don't realize the thing that we are running behind is running away from us. The thing you're running behind is running away from you. I've said this many, many times. This is how it is. You want something new, you get it, it's getting old, it's running away. And the thing that we are running away from, Allah is close towards. Who is Allah close towards? The poor, the needy, the sick, the weak, etc., etc. So as we get ready now for the month of Ramadan, these are the questions we have to ask ourselves. How close am I to the needy? How close am I to the sick? How close am I to the elderly? How close am I to the young ones out there? Iftar will be taking place. Who's going to eat first in the house? Are we going to have the old rule? He's the old lady, or he's the old lady. He's the old man and she's the old lady. These days you never know, you know who's who. But anyway, who's going to be eating first? And what is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Man lam yarham saghirana. Which word he said first? Saghirana. He says, man lam yarham saghirana wa lam yaqir kabirana falaysa minna. That means the one that doesn't have mercy on the young ones. Do we feed the young ones first? No, they didn't fast. Of course they don't need to fast, they are young. But at least allow them to enjoy the iftar. Give them the feeling of the iftar. So we feed them first. We keep them happy. We allow them to enjoy. Then we look for the ones that are elderly. It's not the elderly ones to look for the young ones. We have to look for the elderly ones, the older ones, and allow them to take part in opening the fast. And they must be kind enough to say, Allah has given me so many Ramadans, so many fasts to open. It's my duty to see y'all eating first. And the women are waiting for the men to open their fast. Why are they waiting for the men? Because they are working 3-4 hours in making sure the food will be right. And it should be the duty of the man to say, you have worked so hard, I would like for you to open your fast first. I've seen scholars do this. Well, they will say to the women folk first, please, you open your fast first. After they open their fast, then they will open their fast. This is what brings barakah in our family. And my brothers and sisters, before we talk more about the month of Ramadan, as now the next few days are left, as we get ready for the month of Ramadan, please, let's get ready from now. So this way, when the month of Ramadan comes, our families are not busy cooking and slogging and slaving away. Let us get our families ready from now. So when Ramadan comes, all they got to go is take out the food from the freezer, do what needs to be done. Now some boys, mashallah, I heard them say, this is what they tell me. You know, Imam, I can't eat stale food. I can tell old food from new food. I said, you are talking nonsense. He says, no, no, no. I can tell fresh food from stale food. I never eat food from the freezer. So I said, mashallah, you've never ate out in Carl's Jr. You never ate out in Taco Bell. You never ate out in all those places. Yeah, you see, now that's different. That's what he says. That's different. So when it comes to outsiders where we pay for food, we'll eat food that comes from Lord knows from where. It goes from this state to that state to that state. Then it comes in a package. It's all frozen. It's all hard. That food we will eat. But if our wives have to cook something 3 weeks in advance, no, we don't. Must give us fresh food. My brothers, this is not Islam. This is not Islam. This is something we have to reflect upon. So the ulama are saying something very, very important. Now it's time for us to get ready for Ramadan. Do all the prep work right now. So inshallah, when the month of Ramadan comes, then our families can spend their time in reciting the Quran. You know, there are families out there. Forget about those that memorize the Quran. There are women out there that read at least 10 to 15 juz minimum per day in reading the Quran. There are certain villages overseas where you speak to the people, not just, I'm talking about families, I'm talking about literally villages. Villages, that means hundreds of people, where every family will read no less than, if you take the total amount, every family is reading no less than one Quran a day. The man is reading 10 to 15 juz. The woman is reading 10 to 15 juz. The children are reading minimum 5 to 10 juz. This is the idea of Ramadan. That is why when you look at those people today, mashallah, their children are very successful. Their grandchildren are very successful because the elders have done the work. And if we want our children offspring to be successful, we have to do likewise. So number one in this list that we have, alhamdulillah, in talking about what we spoke about last week regarding the family, number one for getting ready for Ramadan is our intention has to be right regarding Ramadan. We have to know why Allah is sending Ramadan down for us. And Ramadan is sent for one thing, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. It's not sent for samosas. The last time I checked, it's not sent for pakoras, it's not sent for that fancy dish and fancy meal. It is sent for what? It is sent for لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Consciousness. Consciousness regarding my relationships. Consciousness regarding my community. Consciousness regarding my health. Is it improving or deteriorating? Consciousness regarding my salah. Consciousness regarding my taraweeh. Am I on time for it? What am I doing regarding it? You know, many of us are going to wipe away our reward. And I'll tell you how we're going to wipe away our reward. We're going to wipe away our reward by talking religion, but by not doing religion. I repeat, the hadith is very clear. We're going to wipe away our reward in Ramadan by talking about religion, but by not doing religion. We'll talk about the greatness of the Quran, but we can't stand for the Quran. We'll talk about the greatness of fasting, but while we are fasting, we'll be backbiting and gossiping. And we do it like professionals, mashallah. This is how we do it. This is how we backbite. We do it like professionals. Brother, I don't really want to tell you about so and so, but let me just tell you. Now, what is that? Brother, I don't want to tell you about that sister, or the sister will say, I don't want to tell you about so and so, but because we are friends and you understand, let me just tell you about it. You have defeated the value of your fast, because we know full well from hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the one that backbites during fasting, what happens to the fast? It's as if they took part in starving. The hadith is very clear. A person who backbites and makes riba during their fast is like as if they have starved themselves. That's all they've accomplished, is a bunch of starvation. So number one, we've got to make the right intention, and we've got to make the right connection with our Allah as to why we are fasting. What's the purpose of our fast? And what are we doing to get to that purpose or that objective? Number two, prepare our bodies. It's a little late right now, but when the month started, Sha'ban, then one of the things Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do, according to some hadith, he would fast the entire month. According to some hadith, he would fast in this month like as if he hadn't fasted in other months. And mashallah, we had a small program in the 15th of Sha'ban talking about this, where Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would even pray so much in salah that when he would go in sujood, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala would come and shake his leg to see. So when he would move his leg, she realized he was alive. So then there's a thing going on here. Many of us think that we have to make long sujood, and we do it, by the way, in front of other people. One is making, you look at a man when he's praying alone, like people when they come in the masjid, mashallah, when they miss their salah and they come to pray and make up, 2 minutes they are done, 3 minutes they are done. But if somebody has to walk in the masjid while they are praying, all of a sudden that 2 minute prayer becomes a 10 minute prayer. Because now you got to show people, you know, you are a good man. Now, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not that way. He was not that way. In other words, when he would pray with his family, he would try to keep it quiet. He would try to keep it quiet so that way they don't get up from their sleep. And they say even when he would cry, he would try to cry inside. In today's time when we cry, we want to cry outside in front of people. So they must say, mashallah, that man, he cries a lot, mashallah. Maybe he's crying because he couldn't pay his taxes on time and he's getting a fine. We don't know what he's crying for, but we give him the benefit of doubt. And the point I'm trying to make here is, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray so much during the month of this Sha'ban that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to actually shake his leg. And when you move his leg, then she knew he was alive and she would go back to rest. Another very important point. When he would pray, he would not just get the whole family up. Those that got up, alhamdulillah. Those that didn't, alhamdulillah. And in today's time when we pray, we want to show everybody else how we are praying, so they must all get up. I asked the brother, why do you do that? He says, Imam, I'm lazy. You see, I don't like to pray. So I get them up so they pray, so that I get reward and I go back to bed. This is our mentality, mashallah. So don't try that trick, it's not a very good one. So number one, make the good intention. Number two, prepare our bodies for it. Through fasting, as well as through salah, by coming to the masjid, inshallah, and getting ourselves ready for it. Number three, very, very important. Review your medical condition. Every year in Ramadan, we get some sister or some brother that's fainting, some sister or some brother that's crashing the car, some brother or some sister that ends up in hospital. So I'll say now, how come they're in hospital? Well, the doctor said they must not fast, but Imam, they just wanted to fast. Well, why? The doctor says you must not fast. The doctor even said fasting is not good for you. It can create bigger problems for you. Why did you fast? And they'll tell me something like, you know, you have to give the fidya. The fidya is $10 for every fast that you missed, as you know. You got to feed a poor person. So roughly you will give about $10. Roughly, of course, these are all approximations. So you got to give. So this person now doesn't want to give $10 for every fast they missed. Well, if you don't have the money, you don't give. If you have the money, you give and you feed the poor person. This person has the money, they don't want to give. Instead, they want to fast and they end up in hospital. Now they're going to pay a $3,000 bill. To save $300, you're going to pay $3,000. So number three, very important. Check your medical condition. Also at the same time, if you are traveling and you don't have to fast. Now one brother called me. He was traveling from one place to another. Now as you know, sometimes the time shrinks and sometimes from some places you go, the time increases. So for example, it's 2 o'clock here. In another some directions when you go, it becomes 1 o'clock, it becomes 11 o'clock, it becomes 10 o'clock, it becomes earlier and earlier. So what happens is, your fast can end up being 24 hours because you are traveling. Now this guy is calling me from wherever he is. Imam, I'm fasting 23 hours and I got 2 hours more to go and I can't take it anymore. I said, what's going on? He calls me on WhatsApp and he says, so I said, what's going on? How can your fast get so long? He says, I'm traveling. I says, isn't the Quran say if you are traveling, you must not fast? Now you are creating problems for yourself because you're not understanding what you are doing. So, but it's the other way around. If the fast gets smaller, then it's a different issue that we'll talk about some other time. So number three, review your condition, your medical condition. Review the facts, whether you are going to be traveling, etc. And take all this into consideration. Number four, very important point, try to observe as much as you can as far as nafil is concerned. And I'll conclude with this, inshallah. Meaning, try to give extra sadaqah, try to perform extra salah, try to perform extra fast. So this way, when the month of Ramadan comes, inshallah, you are prepared and ready for it. And number five, try to increase your reciting of the Quran. Whether it's the memorizing of the Quran, whether it's the reading of the Quran, whether it's the listening of the Quran, or for that matter, looking at the proper tafsir that are out there and trying to not only read it, inshallah, but also at the same time make amal on it. Alhamdulillah, there are so many wonderful CDs out there, so many wonderful channels out there, alhamdulillah. So use them to the best of your ability, and this way, inshallah, you will be fully ready for the month of Ramadan. And a lot of brothers, mashallah, they're asking when is Eid already. They're not asking when is Ramadan, when is Eid. My brothers, you know, the Sahaba used to ask the following question: when is Ramadan coming and how can we prepare for Ramadan? Number one. And number two, they used to do something very, very important. Towards the end of Ramadan, they would wish Eid never came. And when Eid would come, they would be sad. They would be sad. And some of them would be sad for up to 3 months after Ramadan, that Ramadan has left us. And we are already worried about when is Eid, mashallah. So it's a different generation, as they say. So anyway, as we get ready for the month of Ramadan, take note of these few points that we have made, and inshallah it will help you and appreciate and give us the full benefit of لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ وَآخِرْ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ